All right, let's turn in our Bibles tonight to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. This is one of my favorite psalms. It's just packed full of wonderful truths. And when I went to Bible college my freshman year, about October, I got homesick, and I called my mom and I said, I want to come home. And she said, here's your dad. I said, I didn't call dad, I called you. Anyway, dad said no. And so that's why I called mom. I thought for sure mom would say yes. I said, dad, this is awful. You got to get up and you got to go to bed and you got to go eat their food. And I got to study all the time, and I just can't take it. He said, tell me about it. I was in the Marine Corps. And I put mom back on, you know. Right after that phone call, my mother sat down and wrote me a letter. And when I opened the letter and began to read it, she had copied Psalm 37. And send it to me. And I sat there and read that psalm, and it instantly became a favorite. All right, I want to read just one verse. One verse, and that's verse 31. Verse 31. Now, he's talking here about a good man. A good man. What is a good man? Who is a good man? He just keeps going on and on about a good man. You look back at verse 23. He said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Then in verse 25, David said, I've been young and I've been old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And then he says in verse 31, look at this. The law of his God, and we're talking about a good man here, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. None of his steps shall slide. I want to speak to you tonight from that one verse, and I want to entitle the sermon this evening, The Scriptures and the Heart. The Scriptures and the Heart. All right, let's pray together, and then the message. Father, thank you now for our time together this evening around your word. We thank you for the music that has prepared our hearts now to receive the seed of your word. And I pray that you will help me as I speak and fill me with your spirit. Father, I need your help as I speak, and I pray for the church family here, and just ask that you will give them the ears to hear what the Word of God has to say. May we be receptive and responsive to the Holy Spirit tonight. And Father, we'll be sure to give you the praise and glory for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. I have been reading all this week in the Psalms. And while I was reading the other morning, I read this verse, and although it is a very short statement, it spoke to my heart, and I thought, well, let me just think on that verse a little while, and thus came the message. That little verse says, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Now, David is speaking here about a righteous man, a good man. If you'll look at verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. And then our text verse. So David here is speaking about a good man, about a righteous person. Now, if you'll remember, these psalms were songs. There was a tune that went to these songs. John, you may remember some of them, but this was a long time ago, but I'm sure you remember some of them. And so we need to get you to hum the tunes to Brian so he can put them to music, if you can remember that well. I know when you get old, your memory's not what it used to be. But now you stay out of this. It's my time. All right? And so there was a song that went with each one of these, a melody that went with each one of these. And they used to sing them in their homes. They sang them in the synagogues. They sang them at the temple. They sang them whenever at the tabernacle before they had the temple. They sang them, they knew them by heart, and they would sing them, and they were always an encouragement to the Jews. Now, you will remember that David had four wives. Four. One, two, three, four. Four wives. All right, that's four mother-in-laws too. All right, but he also had a bunch of children. These four wives bore David many children. And evidently, the rabbis in the tradition says that that this was a psalm that was taught to by the father of a home to his children, and that the father had the responsibility to teach and to train his children about life. And David knew and understood his responsibility, and he encouraged all fathers to teach and instruct their children in the things of God. That's why he said in verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And that's why he said that that we are to train our children and teach them the law of God. That's why it's emphasized all the way through the Psalms. So the whole point of this psalm is to show how a good man, a righteous man, a godly man lives his life as a husband, as a father, and as a servant of the Lord. Now in verse 31, David teaches us something very, very important about a good man. He tells us of the importance of the scriptures in a good man's life. That good man must be reading and studying and meditating upon and growing in the things of the scriptures. Unless we are loving the scriptures and reading them and growing in them, we are not going to be the godly, righteous, and good person that the Lord wants us to be. It's just that simple. We're just not going to be what the Lord would have us be if we're not in the Word of God. And notice in the verse that David speaks about the scriptures, the Word of God, being in the heart. Being in the heart. Now, there are a lot of people who have a head knowledge of the Bible, But do you have a heart knowledge of the Bible? And basically what David is saying here is that the law of God is in your heart. A lot of people have a head knowledge of the Bible. Normally, that's about enough to get you in trouble. Amen. You know, you think you're a scholar, and you know, if somebody says something, you hear some heretic say something, and it rings true for you. Why? Because you don't know the Word of God. That's why. Amen. That's why we ought to know the Bible. I've said to you for as long as I've been here, if you want to find out if a stick is crooked, you just lay a straight stick down beside of it. Amen. That'll tell you. Yeah. All right? And right here's the straight stick. Amen. This book, the Bible, is the straight stick. You want to know if something's right? You gauge it by the Word of God. So we need to learn and know the Bible. There are a lot of people that have a head knowledge. But you see, once the Word of the living God gets from your head down to your heart, there is where it controls you. That's when it controls you. That's when the scriptures shape and mold your character and turn you into the person that the Lord would have you be. You see, there's another verse David wrote in the Psalms, and he said this. He said, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is." Yes, indeed. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let me tell you something, folks. If you sit around all day and stew and boil over your dislike, which eventually will turn into bitterness, which will eventually turn into hatred, if you sit around and dwell on that and think on that, then you are going to become a hateful, ugly person. It's just that simple. If you sit around and pour the world into your heart, you're going to become a worldly person. If you sit around and just pour the flesh into your life, into your heart, then you are going to become a fleshly person. I've said to you many, many times, you are right here tonight. You are what you have been becoming. What you have been becoming. Oh, I can't tell you how many people through the years that I have counseled, and they have told me that they do not like the person that they have become. They weren't that person, but now they are that person. Why? Because you've been sitting around thinking in that way, and as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's that simple. It's that simple. And folks, that's why we need to daily be in the Word of God. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and verse 8, Paul said that familiar verse. We all know it. He said, "Whatsoever things are true." And then, "Whatsoever things are honest." And then, "Whatsoever things are just." And then, "Whatsoever things are pure." And then, "Whatsoever things are lovely." And then, "Whatsoever things are of good report." He said, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. But sadly, we sit around and in the afternoons, some of you ladies sit around and watch as the stomach turns. You know, and you know, you're going to think like that. You go home and you watch. In the evenings, you watch all the innuendos and on primetime television, and your kids are sitting there watching during the commercial two women kissing one another or two men kissing one another. Well, you're just ingraining in them the world. The world. You know what they're doing in our schools? They are programming our children to accept the LGBTQ plus whatever. They add a new letter every week. That's what they're doing. They're just getting our kids to accept it. But what's the Bible say? The Bible says that sodomy is an abomination. Amen. It's an abomination. Now, who are you going to believe? You going to believe NBC or are you going to believe the Bible? Are you going to believe CBS or KJV? Which is it going to be? You know? But that's what they're doing, programming our kids. Pray tell me, what does cross-dressing have to do with reading? Has anybody figured that out? Hell is what it is, Bill. It's just hell surfacing. That's all it is. And we better get back to the book. That's what's wrong with our country. We left the book. That's what's wrong with us. Think on these things. And folks, let's be honest. We are all bombarded every day with things designed to control the way we think. So Paul said, think on these things. Whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. Think on those things. So David is, in our text verse, verse 31, speaking of the Bible and its influence. It is the greatest book that has ever been penned. And yet, no book is as hated and attacked and maligned and despised as is the Bible. The world hates the Bible. And the reason it does is because the Bible is a great hindrance and rebuke to the evil that is in our world. Now, let me point out three things about the scriptures and the heart of man. First of all, let's notice the character of the Word of God. It's right here in this verse. The character of the Scripture. It's right here in this verse. We see in the first five words the character of the Scriptures. Look at it. The law of His God. The law of His God. You say, Pastor, you see character, the character of the Bible in that? Sure do. I see, first of all, the word's authority, the Bible's authority. You see, David calls the Bible here the law. That's authority, folks. That's authority. I would come in and say, Dad, can we? And he'd say, nope. I'd say, but Dad, can we? Nope. But, Dad, everybody else is doing it. Well, if everybody jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge? No, Dad, I wouldn't jump off a bridge. But can we? No. And then he would look at me and he'd say, here's the bottom line, son. Well, I knew, turn around, walk away. All right, you don't even want to know what the bottom line is. But it went something like this. If you even ask one more time, there's going to have to be a professional crew come in and scrape you out of the cracks of the walls. So I would just turn and walk away. The answer is no. I never stood and got all that, but that's what I took from it. You know when to quit, don't you? And so that's authority. That was, my dad was the law. When he spoke, everybody listened in the house. Yes, sir. And half the neighbors would listen. Now, the Bible is given a large number of names. It is called by so many different names. If I started naming them off the top of my head, I would surely leave a bunch of names out, so I'm not even going to try to do that. But each name the Holy Spirit uses in the Bible expresses a facet of the Bible's character. And here in this verse, the Word of God is called by David the law. And certainly by calling the Scriptures the law, it's not a law, it's the law. Okay? It's the law that underscores all authority. That's the Word of God. You see, this book is not just a group of opinions. Okay? It's a law for mankind. The Ten Commandments are not the Ten Suggestions. They're the Ten Commandments, law. All right? They are given as commandments from God on how we are to live our daily lives. When the Scriptures tell us that there is only one God, and we are not supposed to put any other God before Him, well, that is not something that you can say, well, that doesn't apply to me because I don't believe in God. Oh, it does apply to you. You say, well, I don't believe in God. Doesn't matter. It still applies to you. Well, you say, well, if I don't believe in God, how can it apply to me? Well, you just keep in your unbelief, and one of these days, when you leave here and go out into eternity, you're going to find out. You're going to find out. Folks, we're all going to stand before God Almighty. Every one of us. So the Ten Commandments are serious business, folks. And when you stand before God Almighty at the great white throne judgment, where all of the unsaved will one day stand to be asked by the Lord Jesus Himself, why did you reject me? Why did you reject me? Well, the Bible tells us that the Lord is going to open the books. That's these books. All 66 of these books. Because these books are what contain the gospel and man's accountability to that gospel. And then He's going to open the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I'm going to, here's a little Bible study for you. I believe that all people's name is in that book. Everybody. You see, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. And if you don't come to repentance, the day that you pass from this life into eternity unsaved, that's when your name is crossed out. That's when your name is crossed out. Boy, I hope your name's not crossed out. You better know the Lord, folks. We're getting down to the wire on this thing, aren't we? You see, when the Bible says that you must be born again, why didn't you believe my word? Jesus will ask you. I mean, isn't it going to be terribly ironic that the word of God, which men rejected, is going to be the open book that unsaved men will have to stand before when they are eternally judged? Isn't that ironic? The very God, which men rejected, scoffed at, ridiculed, cursed, will be the one sitting upon the great white throne of eternal judgment. Well, you just stand in front of Him and tell Him you don't believe in Him. See how that goes for you. Man, it ain't going to go very good, I can tell you that. God's going to look at you and say, hey, the book was right there. Your friend spoke to you You went to a living cross one year. You saw it portrayed how my son was treated and died on Calvary's cross. And you said no. Well, I didn't believe in you. Well, how do you believe now? You believe now, don't you? Oh, yeah, I believe now. Sorry, too late. Too late. Depart from me. I never knew you. He's got to know you here, folks. He's got to know you here. You say, well, why is that? Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's why you got to know him now. Folks, listen, this book that I hold in my hands is not a book of fairy tales. And it is not a book of Jewish legends. It is the authoritative word of the living God. And men can deny it and scorn it and mock it and laugh at it and do their best to pollute it or to dilute it. But this is the authoritative word of the living God. It is God's law. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, this book is the law of God. And when it gives a command, it's not up for debate. It's not up for discussion. We don't need to have a business meeting to figure out what God says ought to be. Amen. One of the churches that I used to pastor, they got some numbskull in there who decided that they were going to change the Bible. Now, I split the church. Split the church, all the saved people left and went somewhere else. Y'all didn't get that. I heard y'all chuckle. Yeah. They left and went somewhere else. They started going to another church that does believe the Bible. Shameful, isn't it? Absolutely shameful. Well, I'm telling you, folks, our world's a mess, isn't it? Yes, right. And when it says something, it means that thing. I don't know how I'll say it to you. It just means what it says. Amen. All right, so that's the authority. The authority. The word's authority. But secondly, we notice the author of the word. No, look at your Bible. It says the law of his God. All right? It's his God's book. The author of the word is God. I mean, it's called the Word of God. That's pretty clear to me. The Bible is called God's Word. It is God's Word. Hundreds and hundreds of times the Bible claims to be God's word speaking to us, speaking to man. Hold your place here for just a second and go back to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1, the very first three verses of the Bible. All right, now I don't know about you, but my brother bought me a Bible. I had to put mothering up. It was falling apart. So he bought me a new one. It's goat skin leather cover. It's so soft you could sleep on it. Seriously. All right, and down to bottom of Genesis 1, it has a little page number. You know what page number this is? No, it's one. It's one. It's first page of the Bible. All right? I'm making a point. All right? Genesis, first book. It's at the beginning. Does anybody have Genesis at the end of your Bible? No, it's always in the front, isn't it? Yeah. First book. And I'm looking down. It says page one. And then I look at the chapter and it says chapter one. Does anybody have a misprint and yours says chapter eight? No, this is chapter one, isn't it? All right, now look at what it says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now watch this now. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3. All right, now don't miss this, folks. Let's just all read the first three verses there, or the first three words of that third verse. You ready? And God said. He did what? He said. Wow. Isn't that amazing? I have not read three verses on the very first page, in the very first book, in the first chapter of that book. I have not read but three verses, and already I am confronted with the fact that the very words that I am reading are the words of the living God. He spoke. He spoke, folks. And that's what you have in your Bible. Point is, God is the author of the book. Now, with God as the author of the Bible, wouldn't you say that that would make the Bible the greatest of all books? I mean, it gives the Bible a fidelity about it that no other book can claim. No other book can claim that. God didn't write but one book, the Bible. Oh, he put 66 books in it, but only one, the Bible. And it gives it an authority that no other book can claim. When I was a senior in high school, I went to sign up for an English class. I just thought you took 12th grade English. I didn't know. So I went to sign up for 12th grade English, and they said, no, we put you in this, they had a name for it, but I can't think of it. But we put you in this class. It was like an honors class, you know, a little heavy duty stuff. I said, we put you in that class. And I said, why? And they said, well, the other classes were full. I said, oh, gee, thanks a lot. So anyway, I had to take that English class. Well, first day, Mr. Kaufman, he gets up and he passes out this little sheet. And he says, these are my top 10 books that have ever been written. And we're going to read these books this year. And we're going to learn them. And so, number one was Huckleberry Finn. It was good. I enjoyed reading that. I laughed my head off reading it. Mark Twain was amazing. All right, so Huckleberry Finn was number one. Number two in his book was Jane Eyre. That was a girl book. No, I didn't like that. All right, number three was the Bible. Amen. In Mr. Kaufman's opinion. So he passed all that out and was talking about it. And we came back the next day and he said, well, I guess you've had a chance to look over this list. We all nodded. Yeah, we looked at it. And he said, does anybody have a comment? And so nobody said anything, so I just lifted my hand and I said, I have a question. I said, why do you have number three? Why do you have the Bible number three? And he looked at me like, What? And I said, you're saying that Huckleberry Finn is a better read than the Bible. And you're saying that Jane Eyre is a better read than the Bible. And then you have number three, the Bible. And he said, well, do you have a point you want to make? I said, yes, I do. He said, well, then make it. I said, well, this one, number one, was written by a man. His name was Samuel Clemens. His pen name was Mark Twain. Now, granted, he was a brilliant person. But I don't know that Huckleberry Finn has ever changed anybody's life for eternity. And then he said, well, now, and started stuttering and stammering. And I said, now the second one you got, I know that's not changed anybody's life. There's no doubt in my mind that hadn't changed anybody's life. And I said, but now that third one has changed the life of so many people, you couldn't count them all. And one that it has changed is me. And he said, I can see we're going to have some discussions this year, aren't we? I said, yes, sir, we are. And we did. And he said, well, according to Mr. Belcher here, we need to change the Bible and put it number one. I said, move Jane Eyre down. And when we had to do a report, we had to do a book report for each semester of term paper. And when we did the term paper, I did both of mine on the Bible, one on the Old Testament, one on the New Testament. And I did my best to show that man that I didn't think the Bible belonged in the same category with books that were written by sinners. I said, all these were written by people. The Bible was written by God. There's a world of difference there, sir. Amen. That's our Bible, folks. Second thing I want you to see, I want you to notice the cardiac for the word. Now, you know what a cardiac is, right? That's your heart. Notice the heart for the word. David says, for the righteous man, the law of his God is in his heart. The place for the word of God is in the heart. I think it is a given that we all realize we need the word in our heads, knowledge, and we need the word of God seen in our hands, conduct, okay? But don't stop there. Don't stop there. And a lot of people, they say, oh, well, I know the Bible, and the Bible runs my behavior, it guides my behavior, it helps me to be a better person, et cetera, et cetera. But don't stop at the head and at the hands. Don't stop there. You say, well, Pastor, where else is it supposed to be? In your heart. In your heart. Don't stop at the head or the hands. If the word of God is in your heart, it's going to be found in other places in your life. Amen. It'll just show itself. There are a lot of scholars who have the word in their heads, and sadly, many of those will sit and pick apart the Bible. They will sit and dissect the Bible and criticize it and say, this is what the Bible is really saying. Well, folks, if you just read the Bible, you will see what God is really saying. You just got to read it. And I've told you all for as long as I've been here, I am, and I'm still convinced that God's people don't read their Bibles the way they should. I'm convinced. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, the main reason I can say that is because Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And yet, churches are filled with the most offended people that you'll ever want to meet. Pastor, pastor, pastor. Oh, when I was out in Illinois, they called me Piaster, Piaster. I mean, it took you half an hour to say the word. And I told them, I said, I'm going to change my name. I'm going to change my name. I'm just going to have y'all call me, I don't know, Bishop for a while. Why? And I said, because I'm so sick and tired of all this fussing and griping and complaining. Pastor, pastor, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you're in the book, you don't walk around ticked off all the time. Oh, boy. I hope that makes sense to you. Amen. That's what it says. You're right, Bill. You see, a head knowledge is not what we need. You remember Romans 10, 9? What's Romans 10, 9 say? We all know that verse, don't we? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart. Not a head knowledge. Billy Sunday used to say a lot of people are going to miss heaven by about 17 inches. That's the distance from your head to your heart. Now, we all know it's not this thing down here. We all realize that. But the heart is the real you. Amen. All right? They have a head knowledge, but don't have a heart knowledge. And those who have the word in their hands, conduct, are really nothing but hypocrites. That's right. What's a hypocrite? Well, plainly put, a hypocrite is someone who is not himself on Sunday. Hello? Boy, that's true, isn't it? A hypocrite is someone who is not himself on Sunday. Folks, we need that word in our hearts so that it governs our entire person. Amen. Our entire person. We need it to govern our thinking and our actions and our emotions. We just need the word of God to guide us. Amen. Now, how do you get something from your head to your heart? How do you do that? Well, we do that by thinking about it, don't we? The more you think about it, that's how you get something from your head down to your heart. Go back and remember when, guys, when you first started dating the woman who is now your spouse. All right, long time. Go back. Come on. throw some brush out of the way and get down there. All right? I mean, you met, and then you were interested, and then you wanted to get to know each other, and you just couldn't see her enough. You remember that? You just couldn't see her enough. I mean, you know, you talked on the phone, and soon she occupied your every thought from the time you got up until you fell asleep at night. I mean, all you did was think about her. And so one evening you thought, if I don't tell her how much I love her, I'm going to explode. And so you called her up and said, you want to go get something to eat? She said, yes. So you went to your favorite restaurant, Taco Bell? You got a six-pack of tacos, one drink and two straws, and you sat at one of those little tables and looked at her, and with all of the emotion that you could muster, you said, "I have something I want to tell you." And she's all ears. She says, "Well, what is it?" And you looked at her and you said, "I just want you to know that I love you with all my head." Now, let me tell you something. If that's what you said, you better duck. Because I can tell you right now, that's not going to fly. Is it? No, sir. What do you say? "I love you with all my..." Exactly. Because you see, for weeks, months, she's occupied every waking moment until it got from here down to here. And when it got to here, you couldn't contain it anymore, could you? Huh? Sure. That's why you just had to tell her. You just had to do it. You see, folks, when it gets in your heart, then it governs your life. Amen. Amen. Then lastly, very quickly, I want you to notice the consequences of the word. Last part of that verse says, "None of his steps shall slide." None. None of his steps. You see, the word of God has a purifying effect on our conduct. It does. That's why we need to read the Word of God daily. It has a purifying effect on our conduct. David is simply saying that the person who has God's Word in his or her heart will not slip or slide into evil, into wickedness, into sin. I didn't say you're not going to sin. You're going to sin. You're a sinner. But you're not going to slide into it and stay there. You're just not going to do it if you're in the book. You say, well, how do you know that? Because God said it. That's how I know it. I didn't write it. Don't look at me, folks. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Why? It's what he said. You see, the problem is we don't get in the book and then we slip or slide right down into sin, and then we want to blame God for it. No, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. Don't blame God for your failures. You get in the book and let God help you. You see, our biggest problem today is we don't let the word influence our actions. We just don't. I don't know why we don't, but we don't. We simply live the way we want to live and react the way we want to react without any care or any concern for what thus saith the Lord. I guess it's just our sinful nature that helps us do that. David says, if we are in the Word, we're not going to go into sin. We will not fall into the pit that the devil has dug for us. We will not go headlong into an evil snare that Satan has set for us. You know, you hear these folks all the time. They talk about, really pray for so-and-so. You know, he fell into sin. He what? He fell into sin. What, he fall out of the sky or fall out of the sea? What did he do? Oh, no, he fell into sin. Like there's this big hole out there somewhere, and we're just casually walking around, and then, poop, we just go right down in that hole. Where'd he go? Oh, he fell into sin. That ain't how it works, folks. You don't fall into sin. There's no hole out there anywhere. You say, well, what happens to you then? You take baby steps into sin. You see, you do what you want to do, don't you? And what I'm saying is, if you get this book in your head, it'll change your wants. Amen. You'll want to do what God wants you to do.
Amen. That's right.
Every time I say this, I get in trouble. But I've said all the curse words today I want to say. All of them. By the way, that's none. I've had all the beer today I want. By the way, that's none. I've beat Karen up as many times as I want to beat her up. That's once. No, I'm kidding. Come on. Scratch that last part. This how rumors get started, you know. Hey, that preacher at Open Door, he beats his wife. We all know it's the other way around, yeah. You stay out of this. He does so good. He sits over and behaves himself. But you give him one instance and he falls right into the pit. Yeah, he fell. Folks, there's power in this book. That's what I'm saying. There's power in the book. No book has ever had such a powerful influence on mankind as has the Word of God. And David said, hey, it's a lamp unto your feet and it's a light unto your path. Other books oftentimes encourage us to do the wrong things, don't they? But the Bible wants us to do the right things. The romance novels that fill your heart with unreachable fantasies, and many a woman has filled their heart with those awful things and have ruined their home and ruined their marriage by foolishly reaching for the unreachable. Ladies, listen, there's not a perfect man anywhere. And you get down to it, you're not going to do any better than what you got right now. Amen. And guys, same way with you. Did you just get elbowed? Is that why you said amen? Amen. Yeah, I kind of got that. Here's the bottom line, folks. The Bible is written to purify us. It purifies us. And the person who reads the Word of God and who gets the Word of God in their heart will walk a pure life and a life that will keep him or her out of the muck and the mire of sin's cesspool. Christian, love your Bible. There are people in China, there are people in Russia, in the Ukraine, there are people all over the world that would do anything to have this goatskin Bible that I hold in my hand. They don't even care that my name's on the front. They'd sit and rub it till it went off. They wouldn't care. Let's search the scriptures daily and learn them, allowing God's word to keep us clean and strong and productive for him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful word. And I pray you'll help us tonight to understand what we have heard. And Father, may we be challenged tonight, challenged to let the Word of God live in us. Just read it, study it, love it, hide it in our hearts so that we won't sin against you. And Father, just give us, I pray, a convicted heart tonight for the Word of God. I pray that you'll speak to every Christian tonight, every one of us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.